Being with us this morning will bring a blessing to you. We are in the middle of a study on answering this question, what is truth? Before we get into our study, a couple of things that I want to tell you about. Of course, we had our vacation Bible school this past week, a really, really great week. And I think we started out on Sunday evening, we had 50 people here, and by Thursday evening, we had 90, how many, Beverly?
92
here on Thursday evening. It was a really great week. We had a great time, and a lot of good things that were happening throughout the week. Now, vacation Bible school is over. It's time to clean up. All right? So, we need lots of help because all of this stuff has got to be taken down and everything put back the way that it's supposed to be, and all the different things in the classrooms and all that. We need to do that today. So, what we're asking for, and we announced this the other night, anybody that can, when we're finished with worship service this morning, if you need to go and have lunch, change clothes, whatever, come back and help us get all this stuff taken down and everything put back. We certainly would appreciate it. The more of us that get involved in it, then the less time it will take and less work for everyone involved. Now, after we finish cleaning up today, we have our fourth Sunday fellowship because this is a fourth Sunday, right? So we have a fourth Sunday fellowship. Last month we didn't get to do our cookout because we got rained out. So we're going to do that this afternoon. We're going to have our cookout. The church has provided the hamburgers and hot dogs and buns. And so what we need for you to do is provide whatever other stuff you want to have to go along with hamburgers and hot dogs. Side dishes, desserts, or drinks, whatever. That will be at 5 o'clock is when we're going to start that this evening. So even if you are not able to come and help us clean up everything, some people physically can't do that. We recognize that. We would like you to come back and join us in our fourth Sunday fellowship this evening. So keep that in mind. Again, that starts at 5 o'clock. Now, for those of you who may not realize it, we have Allie is working with us this summer. With the teenagers, and she's got a couple of different events that are planned that we just really want to emphasize to you and encourage you, if you fit into the different categories, to take advantage of and to participate in. The first one is this King's Dominion trip for the teenagers. That will be this Tuesday. Now, Allie needs some chaperones to go along with that, some drivers. So if you can help with that, then please let her know. Also, there are permission slips. I think I have sign-up sheets here. I don't think she has a sign-up sheet, does she? For those going, if you're going, you need to let Allie know. But if you are under 18 years old and you're going on this trip, you have got to have a permission slip signed by your parent or guardian, or you cannot go. That's even if your parent or guardian is going as a chaperone, we still need a signed permission slip. Okay, those are out on the table, out in the foyer, so pick those up. And if you have not already let her know, then let Allie know that you are planning to go on that trip, okay? Now, for those who are seniors, they are planning the teens are sponsoring a senior luncheon for all of the members who are seniors. That's senior, not seniors in high school. This is senior seniors, okay? So that is scheduled for Saturday, July the 15th. If you would like, as a senior, to be a part of that, there is a sign-up sheet on the table out there that we need you to sign so that we know how much food to prepare for and so forth. So if you, as a senior, would like to participate in that luncheon, then please sign up on the sign-up sheet out there so they can plan that. Now, one other event that's happening, our teams are trying to do some things and just being involved with the whole church family. So they have a craft day, a craft event planned for July the 2nd, immediately after worship services. They're going to do some crafts here. Again, there's a sign-up sheet out there that we need to have. You know, if your children are going to participate in the craft day, we need you to sign them up on there so they know how much materials and things of that nature that they're going to be doing. And they're doing lunch also for them, aren't they? So they're going to be having lunch for the kids and then doing the craft thing. So we need them to sign up so we know how many kids are going to be here. And that's the teams are doing that for the younger kids. All right, so that's what's happening. A lot of different events that Allie's trying to get going with our teenagers and again involving all different groups within the church family. So we certainly do appreciate her help and work in all that matter. So when you see her, give her a big hug and a thank you for what she's doing. Let's talk about truth this morning. This morning, we're going to focus on true worship. And I really do appreciate the songs that Wes has been leading this morning because they really do focus on our worship of Almighty God and calling us to worship Him. Let me show you some of the information that I think is really kind of revealing as to what's going on across America. There is a trend across our country that actually fewer people across America are attending church these days. We use that word church, okay? Which refers generally to what we refer to as worship services, okay? But attendance in church is down all across the broad scope of Christianity in America. Right, every church group that's out there in Christianity is experiencing fewer and fewer people that are participating and attending worship services. A survey from the Pew Research Center basically lets us know some things here. Between 2007 and 2014, the percentage of the population who say they are Christians went from 78.4% to 70.6%. Okay, that's in other words, across the board, across the country, the number of people who say, not just I believe in God, but specifically they claim to be Christians, is down from 78.4% to 70.6%. Now, of that 70.6%, 37% of those say that they attend services on a weekly basis. Okay? 37% say they attend services on a weekly basis. Why do I put it that way? Because researchers have found what they refer to as the halo effect. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with, you know, the picture you see of, you know, spiritual beings wearing halos. What that has to do with is what they call what people say versus what they actually do. So in other words, when they make these phone surveys and they call and they talk to people and they say, you know, how often do you go to church, or however they ask the question, people will say one thing, but what they actually do, researchers have found, is oftentimes a whole lot different. And what they have found from actual counts of church roles and attendance and participation and so forth is that people, the counts of people in churches, only 17.7% attend on any given Sunday. So it's not the 37% that people are claiming. The reality, it's only 17.7%. Now, let's put that in a different perspective here. Of the 70.6% of the people across America who claim to be Christians, are you following me here? And if you take away that 17.7% who actually attend on any given Sunday worship service somewhere, that leaves 52.9% of the people across America who say they are Christians but do not worship God. Okay? Over half, way, way over half, of those who claim to be Christians, but yet will not worship God. Why is that? Say, well, I think it's primarily because people don't understand what worship really is all about. You see, that's where we kind of get mixed up in this whole thing of worship versus, quote-unquote, going to church. Okay? We have a lot of people that, and I would suggest to you that at that 17.7% or whatever it was, that there are a lot of those people who go to church but still don't even worship God because they don't really understand what worship is really all about. say, a lot of people think that worship is all about them, for instance. Okay? So when you talk to people about church attendance, you get this response a lot of times. They say, well, I just don't get a whole lot out of going to church, so what's the point? And you talk to folks about, you know, perhaps, well, I can worship God better when I'm out on the lake fishing. You know, I'm out with nature, or I'm, you know, on a hike somewhere, or, you know, whatever. People do not understand what worship of Almighty God is really all about. Can you worship God, you know, out on the lake, you know, in a boat fishing or whatever? I suppose you can. Nothing, you know, wrong with that. But should that be your worship to Almighty God exclusively? I don't think so. You want to make it in addition to, I think that's a good thing. But if that's all you're doing, I think you're missing out on a lot of stuff. You see? Because worship, first and foremost, is not about us. It's not about what we get out of it. Okay? Worship is all about Him. And if it's about anything else, then I suggest to you, it's not really worship. You can call it whatever you want to, but it's not really worship if it's not first and foremost about God. And that's where I think that we oftentimes kind of get caught up in a lot of other stuff, because we don't really understand what it's truly all about. See? So what is true worship? Well, we need to understand it, I think, first of all, from this question of where versus who. And that's where we go back to the text that we had read for us as we began this morning in John chapter 4, where Jesus encounters a woman at the well. And they begin a conversation as the woman goes there to draw water, and Jesus asks her if he would give her something to drink. And she immediately, her first response is, how is it that you, a Jew, could ask me, a Samaritan woman, to give you something to drink? And it's kind of like that, you know, well, who do you think you are? Kind of an attitude is most likely what it is. And then Jesus responds to her by saying, if you knew who it was that was asking you, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. And the woman replies by saying, sir, the well is deep. How are you going to draw this water? You see, and this conversation just kind of goes back and forth this way, as he talks about living water versus the water. He says, everybody that comes back here and drinks this water is going to be thirsty again, but anyone who drinks the water I give them, that water will well up to live a life eternal. And she says, so are you greater than our father Jacob? So now he's not just this Jewish man who's wanting her to serve him, but now maybe he's greater than Jacob? And the conversation continues on. And Jesus at one point says to her, go call your husband. And she says, sir, I have no husband. And he said, you're right in saying you have no husband. The truth is, you've had five husbands. And the man you are now living with is not your husband. I guess that probably put her into this really, really uncomfortable position. But her first statement from there is, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. In other words, how would he know this about her, this perfect stranger, if he weren't a prophet? So she takes this opportunity that here she has a prophet in her presence, okay? She's got a religious question that she wants to ask. All right, and that's where the conversation turns to. So now that I have this prophet here, let me ask you this religious question. And that's what she does. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. There's your religious question. What is the right place to worship? You claim one thing, we claim another. What's the right place? In this conversation, Jesus goes on to say, believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. because it's not about the place. And then he goes on to talk about true worship, and not just true worship, but true worshipers. Look at what he says. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way, for God is Spirit. So those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So basically, the conversation is answering her question that it's not about where, but it is about who. The woman says to Jesus, "Where is the right place to worship?" And Jesus says, "Not where, but who. I'm looking for true worshipers." And true worshipers, or true worship rather, comes from true worship. Okay? We've got to make sure that what we are doing is worshiping God truly in spirit and in truth. And not just going to church. There is a huge difference between those two. And when our focus is on the place that we go, you say, and that we're just kind of, we're making sure we're checking off our scorecard, so to speak, then we are completely missing the point of what worship is really all about. Okay? We so often, I think, get caught up in this idea of asking the questions, you know, that the typical who, what, when, where, why, and how, and all those kind of things. We want some information. Just give me the facts. Well, we focus, and I'm convinced that we, in the brotherhood and even specifically here, we focus on doing all the right things in all the right ways at all the right times in all the right places so that we can say that we have worshiped God today. Is that us? See? That we look at it and say, well, you know, worship starts at this time and it's in this place, and here's the things that we're supposed to do, and when we get finished, at the end of the time, okay, and some people even go, man, he preaches a long time. You see? When we're finished, that we walk out going, yep, okay, checked off everything, we've worshiped today. Never really understanding what true worship is really all about. When this is what we do, then we're missing the most important part of why we come together. We're missing the most important part as to why it's not okay to just go out on the lake and say a prayer or two while you're fishing, or whatever else that people use to say, well, yes, I go and worship God in this way or that way. We're missing the main point of it all. See? What we do and how we do it, make no mistake, is important. Okay? We need to make sure that what we're doing is what God wants us to be doing in terms of worshiping Him. But if it's not from the heart, then it's not true worship. If all we're doing is coming because it's the time for us to come, and the elders have said this is when we worship, so you need to be here, and we want to check off our scorecard, that's not true worship. It's something else, and I don't know what it might be, but it's not true worship, I know that. Got to first and foremost come from the heart. We ask this question. Maybe, have you ever asked yourself this question? Why are you here today? Okay? Just let that sink in for a minute. Think about it. Why are you here? Why do we come together on the first day of the week? Well, there are a lot of different answers, a lot of different reasons I suppose people give, and we could give. We say, well, is it because, first of all, we're commanded to do it. We're commanded to be here on the first day of the week, so that's why we're here. Is that a good reason? Yeah. Well, I think it's a valid reason that we're to obey God, and He tells us to do it, so yes, we should do it. But is that a sufficient reason? I would suggest no. In other words, is that the only reason that we come? Because we're commanded to do so? I hope not. Maybe it's because by coming, then we don't feel guilty because we didn't come. Is that why you're here? You know, because you don't want that guilt feeling of, wow, I just missed another Sunday. Well, you know, I think the guilt feeling is a good thing if you don't come. But if that's the only reason that you come, that's not a good thing. You see where I'm going with that? And maybe we're here because we like to socialize. You know, we look at it as a social event, and we get to kind of catch up on everybody and what's going on and all the gossip. Well, no, we don't do that, do we? But you know, all the socializing and information and so on and so forth. And is that why we're here? It may be because we like the singing, right? You know, we love the singing. We love to be together to sing. And so, you know, that's the reason that we come together to worship God. And maybe there's just a small chance that maybe we like the preaching, you know? Now, are those the reasons that we come together on the first day of the week to worship God? Well, I think, again, some of those reasons, I think, are reasons that, yeah, we kind of put in the mix, but if those are the only reasons, then we're missing the most important part. So we ask this question. What does our worship accomplish? Okay? Again, go back to some of the things of why are we doing it, all right? First of all, does it accomplish kind of removing the guilt that I would feel otherwise by not being here? Does it do that for me? Doesn't that worship time allow me to socialize and catch up with everybody and all that? Is that what my worship to God is accomplishing for me? Or maybe it's that I'm really kind of getting a chance to recharge my batteries for another week. You know, we oftentimes talk about that. It really kind of gives us that boost in the arm to recharge, and I'm energized so I can go out and I can fight against Satan for another week. Well, you know, again, is that part of what happens here? I think sometimes exactly that. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes I need that. I feel recharged by being here. But if these are the things, the only things that our worship is accomplishing, again, we're missing the most important part. And that brings us to this question. What should our worship be accomplishing? When we gather together on the first day of the week, as the Lord has commanded us to do, and because He's commanded it, that means we should be doing it, right? Everybody's head should be going like this, right? Okay? Because we are to live in obedience to Him. But what should, when we gather together on the first day of the week, what is the most important thing that really should be and needs to be taking place? What should be taking place right here in this room on the first day of every week as this family gathers to worship God? Well, let's take a look at what the writer of Hebrews tells us. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22, the writer says this, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence," and look at this, "to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God," look at this, "let us draw near to God." Brethren, I would suggest to you that that is what should be taking place on the first day of every week when we come together to worship God. That what we are doing is that we are entering into the holy place. As we've been studying in our class on Revelation, we are basically entering into the throne room of Almighty God. You think about it this way. Why do you suppose that Isaiah and Ezekiel and John, as we were looking at this morning, why do you suppose they wrote down and gave us those pictures of the throne room of Almighty God? Well, we talked about it in our class this morning, didn't we? We said because we need that encouragement, don't we? In a time when the world is troubled and we can get really discouraged, we need to be able to look at where one day we will be. To look at the beauty of that throne room and say, you know what? No matter what I'm facing in this world, God, I'm looking forward to being with you in that place. And we get the opportunity every first day of the week to go there. Let that sink in for just a moment. Look at what he says here. Let us draw near to God. That's what our worship, first and foremost, should be accomplishing. That we are entering into the throne room of Almighty God, and that we are drawing near to Him. And we do that as we sing praises to Him, and as we pray to Him, we open up our hearts in spirit and in truth to talk to Almighty God and to tell Him what is on our hearts and our minds. And we are entering into His throne room right along with all those creatures that we looked at this morning. Those angels that are there worshiping and praising God. They're doing that right now. And as we gather together as a family like this, we get the opportunity to participate in that worship. I don't know about you, but that's humbling for me. To know that when we come together like this as a family, that's what we're doing. When we have a brother who comes up here and leads us in songs, are we really thinking about the words of those songs that we're saying from the lips of our mouths in praise and honor and glory to God, just like those angels in heaven are doing with Him, that we're joining with them in that worship. And we have a brother who comes up here and leads us in prayer, that our hearts and our minds are open to God, to the God who is the creator of this universe, and we are praising Him in that prayer, just like the angels in heaven are doing right now. We get to join in that. We get to draw near to God as we come together to worship. That is what should be accomplished first and foremost in our worship. Look at what he says. We have to do those things, though, with what? A sincere heart and a full assurance of faith. True worshipers are those that worship God in spirit and in truth. Say, with a heart that is sincere, in full assurance of faith. The opposite of that would be false worshipers. That is, those who don't follow God's law at all. They don't follow His word. They don't seek His truth. And when they worship, they do not worship Him from the heart. And they don't worship Him with sincere faith. This is what God is looking for from every single one of us and from us collectively as a family as we come together on the first day of every week to worship Him. That spiritually and mentally we can put ourselves in His throne room. In other words, we get to go with confidence, notice that He says, with confidence to the holy place, the holy of holies. That's where God is. That is the presence of Almighty God. And that's the privilege that you and I get when we come together to worship Him. I don't know about you, but man, that's just awesome. You see, we're not just here in this building, sitting on these pews. We're in the presence of Almighty God. We come together to worship. we talked about again in our class, on Revelation, Isaiah's vision of God and his throne room. What that just awe-inspiring shows us what we have to look forward to and calls upon us to worship him. Look at what he says here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Those are angels, by the way, we talked about this morning, right? Those seraphim, they were standing there. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." That should be our attitude, the attitude of our heart. We enter into the throne room of Almighty God, and we are awed by his majesty and his glory. We get a glimpse of that. That's what worship, true worship, is really all about. Isaiah goes on to say this, "Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Well, you know, you and I fit into that same category. We are people of unclean lips. See? We do not deserve anything. We are completely and totally unworthy. But here's the really awesome part. Yet we are loved. The creation, the Creator, are loved in just an awesome way by the Creator. And he calls upon us, his created ones, to worship him. In spirit and in truth. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say this, and this I think is the second part of why we gather together on the first day of the week. He says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." And then in verse 25 he says, "Then let us not give up meeting together." And look at this next part as, whoa, what happened there? "As some are in the habit of doing." That's that 52 point whatever percent it was. That are saying, "Yes, I'm a Christian," but yet they have given up meeting together. Okay? He says, let us not give up meeting together. Let's not be like that 52 point whatever percent it was. "But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." What day is he talking about? The day when the Lord comes back to take us to be in that throne room with him for all eternity. We need to encourage one another. That's part of why we gather together. That's what he says here. Let's not give up that meeting together. Because we get to enter into the throne room of Almighty God, and we get to encourage one another, looking forward to that day when we will be there with him for all eternity. And thus we worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, as we offer an invitation, here's what I want you to think about. Is that why you are here today? To worship God in spirit and in truth. Or did you come for some other reason, perhaps some of those that we talked about, to get your scorecard checked off, or, you know, kind of make sure you don't feel guilty for another week, or any of those other reasons? If you did not come here today to enter into God's throne room to worship Almighty God, then I really want you to stop and think about what you are doing. I want to encourage you to rethink worship, so that you can worship him in spirit and in truth. If you came here today, maybe something that Satan has got you all tied up in that has really disrupted your worship of Almighty God. Maybe there is some sin going on in your life that you've got to deal with. And I encourage you to take the opportunity while you're here with your family to let's get rid of that so that you will be free from anything that disrupts or interrupts your worship. You will be free to worship God. Maybe somebody here this morning is not yet a Christian. You haven't given your life to Christ. So, yeah, maybe you're here, but you're not worshiping Him as someone who was saved. You are still separated from God by your sins. Well, I'm here to tell you that you have the opportunity right now, to have those sins washed away and to be united with Christ through baptism. We got water ready, don't we, Chuck? And it's even warm, right? No, it's not warm? The heater didn't work, huh? Okay, well, we got water. Okay? And that's all you need. The Bible doesn't say anything about cold or hot. It's wet. That's all that's required. And if you're ready to give your life to Christ and you're ready to make that commitment, you can do that right now. Confess your sins before Christ. Call upon Jesus as your Lord. Repent of those sins and have them washed away in the waters of baptism. We're ready to do that for you right now. Whatever your need is, we want to help you take care of that so you can draw closer to God. Okay. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there. And I'll be right up front to receive anyone that would like to come up. Let's stand together and sing.